Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. With us now is House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins to give us what, well, it actually turns out to be an early session wrap-up. Dan, thanks for joining us this evening, my friend.
Good evening, John.
So, you know, and I have to, before we get to the wrap-up, you went earlier this evening and attended the Sedgwick County, kind of had their little, I don't know what it was, a coronavirus kind of a town hall kind of thing, didn't they?
Yeah, so I got a call, I guess it was early in the day, asking if I could come and share with them some information from the state. And so I met with a few of the commissioners beforehand and then attended their informational meeting and spoke at that. And, you know, I think they're certainly deliberating on what they're going to do. They do want people to know that they are studying it and looking close at it and are, you know, really prepared that if things get bad, that they'll take action. But right now they're just, just studying, seeing what's happening in other places and how they may change what other people do and do what's right for the city of Wichita and Sedgwick County.
So I'm looking at the Wichita Eagles story on this, and looks like, I mean, they kind of went over a couple of things. It looks like they made no decision so far for a stay-at-home order, which is fine. I wouldn't listen to them anyway. But it sounds like Lacey Cruz, I got to quote her on this one. This is lovely. So Lacey Cruz, the only commissioner to explicitly say at the meeting she supports passing an ordinance now, quote, "If I had my preference, we would isolate everyone totally and shut the city down and wait for a vaccine to appear in a year and a half." So she would lock down the whole city for a year and a half. Do people not understand the constitutional rights of, I mean, come on.
Well, and I was a little bit surprised, John, when she said that. And actually, she came up to me before the meeting even started and said she wanted to, institute a stay-at-home or, you know, shelter-in-place, I guess is the term they're using nowadays. But and my purpose for actually meeting with the commissioners was to let them know that I didn't think that was a good idea, that truly – sometimes you can do more harm than what the disease could do. If, in fact, the doctor that presented at that meeting, you know, he started out by saying, you know, the best way to fight this is to shut everything down and keep everybody home for a year and a half until a vaccine comes to market. But he said the exact same thing. He said, but sometimes the cure is worse on everybody than what the disease is. And that's not to minimize the impact of the disease. It's just that the devastation that can occur from just shutting an economy down, I mean, that that can be very detrimental to everybody, to businesses across the city, the state, wherever it might be. So I do not think that's a good option.
Well, and it's, I mean, and then, of course, you also have just the fact that people have constitutional rights and Fourth Amendment rights. And, I mean, it's just the whole thing, I don't know. And I know I've kind of been beating a dead horse here with this thing tonight, but it just seems like we're going down a road that bothers me that we are. So you guys had a busy week up at the Capitol. Obviously, that wasn't your intention. I know you guys still had – how many days did you have left up there on the calendar?
No, actually we left 2 weeks early. We finished up at about 7 o'clock Thursday evening, and several of us had things that we had to get done Friday there in the office, and then I got home Friday evening. But, you know, we actually started down this road about 2 weeks ago. We started feeling like that, you know, with having, you know, 165 legislators with the average age being 60 and some of them not in very good shape. And the fact that we have, you know, right around 200 office staff for the legislators during the session who are also all retired. Typically those are retired folks. That we were in a kind of, I've been calling it a petri dish that was ripe for disaster. You know, if we were to have somebody come down with it, it could spread across the legislature pretty quick. In fact, Georgia, the state of Georgia, had to quarantine their whole legislature because they did have that happen in their legislature. They had a couple of people that tested positive and literally exposed the whole legislature to the coronavirus. So we felt like we needed to do something to, you know, to work towards getting us out of there before something bad happened.
Yeah.
And so, so we started focusing really on what are the things that we had to get done. Of course, as you know, I've talked to you a couple of times, and the Senate didn't work with us real well that first week. Basically, pretty much blocked everything we were trying to do. And finally, about Tuesday of this last week, they finally came around and figured out this was getting pretty tough when we had the scare of one of our members possibly being exposed. And so they finally started working pretty hard at getting things finished up, too. So we got a lot done this week, though. We really did everything that we needed to do to make sure that the state had stability with a base budget. It was a pretty no-frills budget. But it ensures that all of the agencies and all of the pieces of government can operate. You know, there's certainly things that a lot of people wanted to do, but we were really just trying to get a base budget that would bring stability to the people of Kansas.
Well, and you guys did fund a little extra necessary funding into coronavirus emergency funding, which is good.
Absolutely. Yeah, about fifth. We put about, and actually it's controlled. It'll be controlled through the LCC, which is the Legislative Coordinating Council. So we put about $50 million into, you know, a fund just to fight. Not really necessarily fight, but just make sure that we have the resources there to do everything we need to do to, you know, make sure this pandemic doesn't hit us like it has some other states.
Well, and, you know, you guys did a few things that I thought were smart. That was one of them. The other thing, and I'm sure the governor didn't like it. I'm sure some of the Democrats, although I think they voted with you, didn't care for it. But I thought it was smart that you ended up, how should we phrase this, modifying the emergency declaration to kind of scale back her abilities, because not that she would have done it, but, you know, there have been some governors that have chosen to get a little creative with their emergency declarations, you know, reaching toward gun rights and just doing some things that they really don't have the authority, nor should they try to do. And I think it was smart for you to do that.
Well, and actually, the statute that the emergency declaration comes out of, is a fairly old statute that really hasn't, it wasn't made for a human-based pandemic. It just wasn't made for it. It was made for floods and tornadoes and fires. And so there's a lot of different things that can happen with this versus our current statute. So that statute is probably going to get reworked next year to make sure that that it works better with the situation we were in this time. But we did. We put some big guardrails on that. We basically made it to where so the way it works is the governor has the ability to order a disaster declaration or to declare a disaster declaration, and that only lasts 15 days. So she can only have a disaster declaration for 15 days. Then the State Finance Council, which is made up of the governor and various leaders in the legislature, can extend that for one 30-day period. And then after that, it's up to the legislature to extend that disaster declaration. Well, originally, that disaster declaration, or actually the House concurrent resolution that the legislature would do to extend that went clear out to January of 2021. That was pared back, and we put some guardrails on it to where once we start offering to extend that declaration, we will do it every 30 days. So we have the ability to stop it at some point in time if we don't feel it's no longer necessary. But in addition, we are going to be able to scrutinize, or maybe you should say evaluate, every executive order that comes out and determine if it fits within the disaster declaration. And if it's too broad, then we can revoke that executive order. So it gives us the ability to really be an oversight and make sure that this doesn't go off the rails somewhere.
Well, and I think that's smart. Checks and balances are always important. And I will give credit where credit is due. The governor has so far acted fairly. She's been prudent. I saw her on CNN with Don Lemon the other night, and repeatedly Lemon tried to get her to attack the president, and she didn't. And so far, she has actually been fairly restrained, and she's I will praise her for her actions so far.
I would agree with you.
She has a tendency to be fairly liberal, so it's good that you did restrain this a little.
Sure, and I would agree with you. We, 2 weeks ago, we said it's time to put down partisan politics. It's time to really focus on this pandemic and how it's going to affect Kansas. And literally, we started having meetings with the governor, the secretary of KDHE, the adjutant general of the state of Kansas, the attorney general. All of us had lots of meetings. I bet you in the last 2 weeks, I would say we were probably in meetings 6 or 7 different times, getting briefings on what was happening. And I would say she's actually doing a very, very good job. Her staff has been good to keep us informed. They're getting us the information on any executive orders that she's coming out with in time to where we can actually look at those executive orders and make sure that they do fit within the parameters within the authority that she has. And so things are working really, really well. She hasn't done anything too crazy. There was a lot of and I say that, I don't say that in a bad way. I think the only thing that probably riled people up was the education piece.
Yeah.
Seemed to not be congruent with what the Department of Education and the State Board of Education were doing. But I think they've worked those things out, and it's going to work out okay.
I think you're right. We'll take a quick break, and then I'd like to talk about some of the issues you were unable to address, things that got left on the table. And we'll be right back with House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. With us still is House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins. So, Dan, you know, the big debate all session was Medicaid expansion and the value them both constitutional amendment. And ironically, you know, both sides lost, which I guess says a lot about the critical situation that we find ourselves in. Do you think, and my guess is no, but do you think either of those come back? My guess is nothing happens at the end, correct?
Well, John, I think the one way you have to look at this is if you look at this disease, this virus that's coming through, it's not over quickly. In fact, we received some information from a legislator in Nebraska, in Alaska, who worked with some computer algorithm type people to develop a model for each state where they're at and where they could be. And if it were correct and it holds true, and who knows how it'll work out, we don't really peak on this until towards the late part of April, and then it's still out into May and June before it's kind of over. So this is a little bit longer term. The way our adjournment resolution was set this time, we're supposed to be back on April 27th, and then sine die would be May 21st. So I'm not sure that we will be back there. If we are, there's certainly some things that we need to do. If we're not, we've gotten the base, you know, budget done. We have, you know, we have the things that are going to be important for the, you know, for the state to be stable financially for the next year, for the next fiscal year. So both sides are unhappy. You know, on my side of the equation, I'm certainly not happy that we didn't get value them both. I truly think that was one of the things that was the most important thing to do this year. On the other side, those people who want Medicaid expansion, I think that they're certainly not happy. But I think it was interesting, and it was very telling that, of course, our Senate Majority Leader, who has pushed that thing so hard all year long, in the end, the governor basically said, "This coronavirus is more important than that. Let's start focusing on that and what we have to do, and let's just kind of move away from all those things that people want, and really focus on what we have to do to make sure this state does as good as it can during this pandemic." So, yeah, they're both hanging out there. There is one piece of legislation I wanted your listeners to know about, that we did pass the unemployment bill that's very, very crucial for Wichita, but now it's actually crucial for the whole state. When we first had that bill introduced by Representative Nick Hoheisel here in Wichita, it was really just to make sure we helped out the aircraft and that. But now, little did we know that the whole state was going to be involved in massive job loss just because of this pandemic. So it became doubly important. We got that done, and that was absolutely huge.
Well, and I think you're right. The sad part is all the acrimony, the backstabbing, the stuff that went down from the majority, the Senate Majority Leader's office on that Medicaid expansion bill. You know, in the end, he spent all that political capital and he ended up with nothing except a bunch of hurt feelings on the whole thing. So it's unfortunate the way it happened. You know, we do have an election coming up at the end of the fall. Dan, I'm assuming you're going to run. You and I haven't had a chance to talk about it. But assuming you are, what's your campaign information so people can reach out to you, they can donate, they can volunteer? What's your website?
Yeah, so my website is really simple. It's Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out, at gmail.com is my email address, or Gmail, yeah, gmail.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.